Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. This is our final episode for season 4.
Of the year. Yeah.
And as you can tell, we are actually together Puerto Rico in real life.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I know.
It's weird. It's weird because now it's one of those things where it's like, do I look at you? Do I look at the camera? Do I look at you?
How does that work?
Do I look at the camera? I don't know. Well, I mean, seeing professional podcasters that actually know how to do this.
We never figured out how to be professional.
You'd have like two separate cameras.
Yeah.
So that like we could face each other and then like in the editing room, you cut it. Right? Yeah. So, but we don't have.
We don't, yeah.
We don't have that capability. So we'll just be doing this weird thing.
Where we look at you.
Look at you and then look at each other and then make the table vibrate. So this will be.
We apologize.
We apologize because we don't know what we're doing.
It's all in good fun. Salud.
It's all in good fun. Salud. Merry Christmas. Happy Feliz holidays Navidad. To everybody, to those who celebrate, those who don't, enjoy the time off, and everyone that celebrates something else, enjoy responsibly or not responsibly. But yeah, season of friendship and family and love and all that good stuff. That's good. It's good to be back home.
I know.
It feels great. It feels great. Every single time I like step out of the airport and that humidity just slaps me across the face. I'm just like, yeah, this is the good stuff.
And I mean, how cold is Chicago right now?
Thankfully, when I left, it wasn't that bad. It was like probably mid-40s.
Okay.
So,
Could be worse, yeah.
Could be, has been, and will be. Because the bad month is usually February. So yeah. I have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You got lucky here too, though, because this year has been ridiculously hot. Like, it just didn't end with the summer. It went all the way through to the beginning of November, actually. I think this past week is when we first started feeling like low 80s. Yeah, that's cold for us.
It's winter.
Yeah.
It's winter. My mom was telling me like,
it finally feels like winter.
It's winter. You can't go to the beach. It's cold.
Yep.
And I'm just like, You want to switch, man? Yeah. You want to switch? I'll show you what's cold.
85 degrees is considered cold to us Puerto Ricans. That is correct.
You can go to the lake in Chicago, and I'll go to the beach here, and then we'll figure out which one's colder. But I'm looking forward to the beach.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be great.
It's going to be so good, so relaxing. Because I think that's the advantage, though, between cold and hot. Like, if it gets really hot here, you're going to take a dip in the water on the beach or in a pool. Have a very, very cold beer because that's another thing. It's a kind of, that's not a non sequitur, but it's kind of shifted in subjects. But that's one thing that I appreciate about our Isle of Enchantment versus the continental US, which is we have cold beer. Every time I go to a bar back in Chicago, it's just like
warm.
It's technically cold by all metrics, you know, but it's not like we.
Yeah.
We have like icicles.
Icicles.
We call it like they're vestida de novia. Like they're dressed like a bride because you have the frost over the bottle, and that's when you know that the beer is like
right,
perfect
temperature. Yep.
And it hits the spot, especially when it's hot.
Yes.
I love it, but you know, but we don't have that back home. We have it back home. We don't have it back in Chicago. See, now it's one of those things where my wires get crossed.
Where is home really? Where I live?
What's home?
Or where my heart is?
And what if your heart's kind of split a little bit? Like, what if, like, 1/8 is, like, you know, over in the Chicagoland area?
Yeah.
Every 7/8 are still here.
Yeah.
Which I think that's true.
You think that's a good...
I think so. Okay. I think so. Mm. But how's, it's the final episode. We're not going to talk about content. I mean, we will in a recappy kind of way. This is more of a roundup of the year.
Yeah, honestly,
how has your year been? I feel this. Mine has been a roller coaster.
It has. It's been a tough year. I mean, it's. I'm getting really close to graduating law school, so
3 A's and 2 B's.
I know. I was away from the podcast for a while, but hey, it paid off because I did really well in school.
As we knew you would.
Yes.
But still, congratulations.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Salud. But yeah, it was really strange because this was the first year that I actually started working, you know, a lawyer, as a paralegal,
exactly.
Basically.
I've
had many jobs.
Exactly.
My life professionally has been a roller coaster.
Yes.
But yeah, it was the first time that I was, you know, full time in law school and then also working as a paralegal for a firm. So it was it just got way more complicated. So it was a lot more work and it was a little intense. And then I feel like in some instances I would leave, you know, school behind a little bit because it's like, oh, I already have the job. That right. might be more important oh, than school. Yeah. And but you have to pay attention to both because you can't make that job permanent if you don't graduate exactly. and then pass the bar.
It's not that type of job.
Right.
Some other jobs probably you get away with that one. Not this one.
Not this one.
Not this
one. Not at all. So yeah, so it was a little rough. So in that sense, I am thankful that we didn't have that much content to work with.
True.
Double-edged sword, obviously, because there was so much stuff that we were looking forward to, so many things that we wanted to speak to as they were coming out, like what happened with Ahsoka and everything. But yeah. as we know, the strikes happened. For good reason. I always believe that workers' rights should be defended. It doesn't matter what type of job you work at. Labor's rights are really important. And I feel like people criticize unions a lot. And
it was a good year for workers' rights.
And it was. And you need that representation. And we can't get any of that content without the writers or the actors or anybody else, that works in film and in everything, in TV show and everything that has to do with the media that we love.
Right.
So I'm glad it did happen. And that they got resolved in, I think, one of the more positive ways that they could have been. But we did lose content. And like I said, double-edged sword, because having less content made us have to record less, so I didn't have to like pay so much attention to the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
And focus a little bit more on school, because then school, the podcast, and the job were a little intense. But we got through. Yeah. And I think we still were able to release pretty good stuff. Along the way,
it was tumultuous.
It was tumultuous.
Yeah. And not necessarily because of like our releasing of episodes. I just think that the whole of the year was kind of a roller coaster for everybody, and it has kind of shifted the landscape.
Yeah.
Of
even podcasting in general. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of social media. Yeah. Everything has kind of taken a turn.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say for the worst, because I think that's still to be seen
this year. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely 2023. You can definitely cut it in half, because there was obviously, if you're cutting in half, a first part and a second part. But the first part of 2023, I think, started out very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good continuation of the big gains and optimism and vibes of 2022. I think 2022 was a really good year, not just for us as a podcast, but a good year as a whole, I think, for Disney Plus and Star Wars and the Star Wars community.
All the podcasters we got to meet in real life that,
right.
especially I hadn't had a chance to meet because I haven't been to Celebration in a while. So, 2022 was really special. So, I think, the year started off with that
momentum.
Push. Yeah.
And I think that crescendo I don't want to say collapse, but plateaued.
Yeah.
Plateaued, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. At Celebration London.
Yeah, that was like the height. And then
that was kind of the height, because then there wasn't that much that went on.
Yeah.
There was the Indiana Jones 5, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny premiere, which we were very, very lucky to have been invited to. And it was an incredible experience. But, you know, our bread and butter, Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, and despite that premiere being like an incredible experience, I will never forget it. I'll treasure forever. Not all of our friends could go to that one. So it was still kind of bittersweet. You're seeing like a lot of friends, and that's always great. But you get greedy the more friends you make and the more of these events
you want to
see all of them all the time, and you want every experience to be kind of the same as the last one
or so, improved upon from the last one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like the last
you
one
want it
like
to
that.
Be like a ladder. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And this one was different. Necessarily so, and not to say that it was bad, but there was a magic missing there. I don't know, maybe it's because they didn't invite us to the after party.
Yeah, maybe.
Lucasfilm.
Next time.
That's the after party. Come on.
And I wasn't invited, so.
You are. You know, you're always invited in spirit. We'll sort that out.
Mm-hmm.
2024. Not that I have any power.
We like to think we do.
No, I know that we don't. Every single one, I'm just like, this is the last one. Like, don't.
We peaked. We're done.
I think, honestly, I do think we peaked. I do think. I mean, but I say that in the best way possible.
Indiana.
Because, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, and I'm going to be greedy here. That's the one I wanted.
I know you did
want like, that. I was telling you for a while. I know. It's like, I mean,
and you got the trifecta there. Spielberg, George Lucas, Harrison Ford, John Williams.
I got Frank Marshall, Kathy Kent. I got it. Oh, man. It was good. It was like a once. Incredible.
Yeah.
And I wanted it. I wanted Indiana Jones.
I know you.
I was just like, I'll sacrifice everything else. Like, I will not go to a single Star Wars thing. I can go to Indiana Jones. Because that was kind of history. Yeah. You know? That's the last one. Last Indiana Jones movie, at least with Harrison Ford. That's the last time we're going to have, like, Frank Marshall, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford, Kathy Kennedy, and John Williams kind of together making this franchise, this character, and it's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was just like one small, and I'll compare it to this. Because I was talking to a buddy of mine, I'm going to his wedding in London, actually, in 2024. And he's a couple years older than us, you know. He's a Gen X, and because of his advantage in age, he was able to see Guns N' Roses and Metallica, like in the 80s, when they were, you know, in their prime. Yeah. And we would talk about concerts, and he's like, oh, I would never go see Guns N' Roses now, or I would never go see Metallica now.
Right.
And I'm just like, well, bro, you know, I don't really have a choice here. Yeah. So it's just like, I can't go back and relive like that glory heyday of when.
Because you were like, what, one in the 80s? Yeah.
I only got one good year out of it. And there was Hurricane Hugo went by Puerto Rico. So not the best year either.
Nope.
But yeah, like I'll take, you know, like the experience that I can get from the thing that I love. And like, this was it. With Indiana Jones, it's like, I couldn't be there when Last Crusade premiered.
Right.
I couldn't be like at the movie theater or anything. You know.
We weren't even born when it first came out.
So exactly. So like.
Yeah.
So this is it. And when Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, I didn't give two flying shits about any of this. Like in my mind, I'm like young goose during the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull era. His brain would have exploded if you had told him that this would have even been in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
So, we're thankful.
Yeah.
Thankful for them.
I actually liked The Dial of Destiny.
I mean, I'm biased, obviously.
Yeah.
Although I have seen it after the premiere to make sure, like, to check myself.
Yeah.
You know? And not be like, oh, I'm wearing premiere goggles.
Right.
And it holds up. Like, I just saw it. It came out on Disney Plus a couple weeks ago. I rewatched it at home. And I was like, this is great.
It's super enjoyable.
This is
it doesn't have to be
excellent,
like
excellent Indiana Jones movie. And it did exactly what I wanted it to do. It was better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
I liked it more than Temple of Doom. I'm not a fan of Temple of Doom. And it sits like in
the right there in number three.
It's like number three is the magic number. Mm-hmm. You know? So like I dug it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sad that it didn't do numbers, you know?
I know. I would
have liked it to have been like
a little bit half more.
Oh, I would have liked Harrison Ford to have gone out with a blaze of glory and be like, ah, man.
Indiana Jones still got it.
Yeah. But sometimes that's not the way it goes. But it kind of taught us a lesson of like what moviegoers want from movies now. Like, cause, you know, Mission Impossible flop.
Yeah.
Or the Flash flop. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones flop, like all these like big franchises that are supposed to be too big to fail flopped, and then
Barbenheimer
happened. It was a phenomenon.
Yeah,
Godzilla Minus One, The Boy and the Heron, like all these like films that you don't automatically think are gonna be like the big hits that they are because of the type of movies that they happen to be.
Yeah,
all of a sudden like connect with people.
Yeah,
and it's I think the big lesson to learn.
Yeah,
for studios, which they won't. Because they always learn the wrong lessons.
Yeah.
It's just like find some, like audiences connect with good stories.
Yeah.
Not with franchises.
Yeah.
Necessarily. So hopefully moving forward, we see more invigorated storytelling.
And more films done by women.
More films done by women.
Yeah.
For sure. Which, again, another thing that I think has fallen off the radar in this year that was very strong last year versus this year was this conversation that we've kind of been like at the, I want to pretend that we're in the forefront, at least in the forefront in our community of like advocating for people of color, women and minorities to be at the forefront of all these storytelling efforts. And I feel like this year, Barbie being the exception, that conversation
kind of went away a little bit.
Kind of went away. Yeah. And I don't know if it has to do with a political climate where it is, or the strikes had to do with that, or but it's
less visibility or something.
But the momentum that we had last year with like these conversations and other podcasters talking about it as well, and like having this conversation between creators and obviously like the people making these films kind of was subdued. I don't know if it was kind of a reaction against everything from last year or if we just kind of got comfortable with everything.
It's like we've talked about it now, and so that's the status quo, and then we just don't really like, mention it as much.
We don't even talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been weird. And disheartening. I know.
And it is also kind of sad because we didn't really get a chance to talk about Barbenheimer because I still haven't seen Oppenheimer. I'm so sorry. I really haven't.
It's okay.
And I didn't get a chance to see Barbie either because school, work, and everything. But I saw it on Sunday. Now that it's on HBO, check it out if you haven't seen it. Oh my God, I loved it so much.
It's great.
By the point that I saw it, obviously the whole hype train had already happened. Right. And so expectations were high. And I kind of thought it was overhyped. Like, obviously, I love the concept. I thought the everything that came before, like all the advertising, they killed it on the advertisement for that film. Like, and having the inclusion for everybody and the boxes that people could take pictures in, and that older people were like actually getting involved, dressing up as Barbie and Ken and all the characters.
My mom dressed in pink to go see it. Yeah.
See, it's so good. And I grew up with Barbies, obviously, and I hated them. I was the one that all my Barbies looked like weird Barbie. But fun.
I'm not surprised.
Yes, I know. So I knew it was gonna be good, but I didn't think maybe it was gonna be
great.
Oh my God. And I was just laughing so much the whole time. And it also has a deep message. It resonates with girls and women of all ages and with men as well, to try to not act like the douche Kens that they become. Don't check yourself. Don't do that.
Don't play guitar at the beach. Don't do it. Don't play Wonderwall. Don't play Wonderwall. Especially at the beach. Please, don't do it.
No, it wasn't Wonderwall.
I know. Like that's one of them.
That was even worse. Yeah.
That's one of them.
Oh my God. And Will Ferrell was... The casting was just like exceptional.
It was funny though, because I didn't know Will Ferrell was in the movie. And it was funny to me that his character was very similar to the character movie. From the Lego movie. I was just like,
when he first showed up, I was like, is he supposed to be the same character?
Yeah. Might be. Headcanon. Do whatever you want with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been really, really crazy year.
Yeah.
Because of all those, like, it's been peaks and valleys for sure.
Yeah.
In a way that I feel last year was a lot of crescendo. Mm-hmm. You know, it was
a lot of build
on
up.
On the whole, I think 2022 was a good year that, like, you know, just kept building and ended up really good.
Yeah.
Because then we did Andor, and then I came back home here for like 2 months and got to be here, and it was wonderful. And then that momentum kept going into 2023, and then 2023 kept going.
And then it's
like everything. It's like the market bubble, it just crashes. All of a sudden, it just crashes, and it is horrible. And like all the highs of the year were counterbalanced by very low lows. But I'm still surprised that the year went as fast as it has.
It did.
Like, I feel like 2022 kind of took its time.
Yeah.
Now this month is like, oh, it's over. It's done.
Yeah, this year was like really fast.
What do I have to show for it?
I mean, when you wrote that, it's like, I'm back in Puerto Rico on Sunday, and then we should film the final episode. And I was like,
You just left.
Like, wait, what? The final episode of the season already?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is.
But, you know, it's that's life.
I know.
It doesn't stop, and you gotta keep rolling with the punches, because otherwise there's
and it makes us look forward to 2024.
2024 is gonna well, I don't want to hype up 2024 because we were hyping 2023 and it just, you know,
but we can still do some responsible speculation.
We can do some responsible speculation. And I think there's gonna be 2024 is gonna be like a weird year.
Yeah.
In terms of like movies and shows, obviously because of the impact of the strikes. Right. A lot of the things that we were hoping for that either has been announced or haven't been announced.
Yeah. Are getting pushed back. Probably not gonna
happen. So I think we're gonna get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like either right at the end or right at the beginning, but there's gonna be like a big middle where there's just like only reality TV. It's what we're going to get. Because that's the only thing you can do when there's a writer's strike.
Yeah.
So what's the one everyone loves? Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully there's another season. I haven't seen it, but everyone tells me I have to.
It's just the guiltiest pleasure. Yep.
I have to jump in the train. Cause like
We love it. Yep.
Everybody tells me it's great. Mm-hmm. I haven't jumped on the train.
It's just kind of just this horrible crash that you cannot look away from.
You always look at Crash. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like, yeah.
Well, next season, I guess I'll watch it. I guess that's the advantage of reality TV. You don't really have to catch up.
Yeah. It's like always there. And you can start in whichever season. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what happened before.
Let's be fancy and call it to give more credit to reality TV. Let's call it. It's an anthology. If you think about it. Each season is its own self-contained story.
Yep.
So we don't really need to catch up. But at least for Star Wars, what we do know that we're getting for sure is The Acolyte.
For sure, The Acolyte.
Okay. At the beginning of the year. And then at the end, we were supposed to get Skeleton Crew now during Christmas. But it got delayed. So now they're pushing that again for November Christmas. So it feels
So that's a little bit disjointed, because I really thought we were going to get Skeleton Crew first and then The Acolyte. Well,
technically, yes.
Yeah.
But because apparently the way they wanted to like push Skeleton Crew from...
It's like more for a younger crowd.
It's for a younger crowd, or Christmassy. Yeah. You want to get watch it with your family type of thing.
Yeah. So, and timing is important.
So holiday, so they're going to keep that time frame, so they're swapping
which
it.
Which I'm fine with, because I... Yeah, me neither.
Okay, that's mean. It's not that I don't...
We're gonna watch it, and it might surpass our expectations, but it's not something that I'm actively looking forward to. But I'm definitely looking forward to The Acolyte, like super looking forward to it.
It's all The Acolyte all day.
Oh yeah,
I'm very excited, especially because the High Republic Phase 3 publishing initiative just started back up. So I'm back with the comic books and the books.
Okay,
so I'm back into that High Republic world. Because I don't read all the Republic stuff, which I think is kind of annoying that they are forcing you to an extent to read everything.
To actually be able to keep up, because stories come from different sources.
Which I think is cool. Like, there's an extent in which that's cool.
Right.
Feel rewarded.
Right.
If you
actually keep up with the different,
But I don't think you should have to be able to
follow a storyline.
And I got really pissed off because I was reading Shadows of Starlight, number 4, which is the last comic that came out. And then it's about these two characters that were shown in the book. And the book that they're in the book, they're side characters, and a history is implied about something that happened in the year between the last book and this book.
Right.
But I'm fine with that. I guess, okay, cool. It doesn't get in the way of the story.
Right.
It's something that's casually implied to like know that there's history.
Okay.
Fine. But then I'm reading the comic, and the comic's about those characters. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So and now I get to read about what they're talking about. And then all of a sudden I get to a page when they're going to reveal the one thing. And then when I'm reading, all of a sudden at the end, there's a bullet point that says, like a little star footnote that says, oh, to know how this happened, read
this.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
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 This is the reveal. Tell me now.
No, Star Wars Publishing. That's not cool. No. Especially because you don't send us ARCs. We don't get advanced readers.
We don't.
So I don't want to spend money on all the books. You send it to me for free, maybe I won't complain. But since you don't, I'm going to complain all day.
Take note, please.
Take note, even though you don't listen to this. But if you do, take note. I've been begging. I'll beg harder.
You have been begging.
But I stopped begging. I stopped
you
begging.
You stopped. It's like, was it a little desperate?
I try to be cool when I beg, though.
I don't think there's a cool way to bang.
No, well, you can try.
You can try.
You can try. At least in my mind, I haven't deleted the stuff that I posted to look cool. So that means that I'm not embarrassed. Because okay. If I'm embarrassed, I'll feel ashamed. Yeah, it's gone. Okay. It's gone from the internet before anyone can see it.
Right.
But, you know, it's fine. Whatever. It's fine. But it's still not cool that you force people to have to read other stuff to understand this thing. Like, especially not cool for the normal people either. Because you're
so much money you have to spend to just,
You know, you're a casual fan and you just want to know. And it's like, and then it feels like homework.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm just invested in, like, this one story. I don't need to be invested in the whole thing, necessarily.
So don't do that. Thankfully, the Acolyte's going to be a couple of years removed from, like, the polishing initiative, per se.
Okay, so it's a little bit more self-contained.
So it'll be self-contained.
Okay.
There are going to be some characters, or character.
That overlap.
That character, especially Yoda, and everything, because he's 900 years old. Mm-hmm. But there's only like one character that we know.
First thing that is, this. Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a thing. It's like, well, you have to know this to know that. It's more like, oh, she just happens to be there.
Oh, okay.
So I just want them to release a trailer. Because the trailer that they revealed.
That you already saw that I haven't seen. You bring this up every single time we talk about the Acolyte. It's the same way you do about Guns N' Roses. The fact that I haven't been to a single concert ever. It needs to stop, Goose.
But it.
It won't.
I mean, at least. The Acolyte will stop because eventually it will come out.
I know, and I will be able
And I will stop. But Guns N' Roses, only you can make it stop.
Yeah.
Because you can go see them.
True.
And then
you will stop.
And then
no, because then it'll be like, I saw them 15 years before you ever did or something like
no,
that.
No, because well, was it? No, it can't be. What? No.
It probably was. So it probably was.
So it was. Oh, shit.
Yep. We're getting old.
Anyway.
Yeah. Skip.
But that one don't count that much because Slash wasn't in the band. Wasn't back in the band yet.
Right.
So you get a slight pass on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only technically seen them. I've seen them three times. There's only one time.
With Slash.
That it's.
Yeah.
The one whole band, that's like, yeah. That's fine. I'll stop. Anyway, but, you know, those are two things. I don't know what else. I mean, you know, we don't want to, like, drag this episode further. This is more like the year's over.
Yeah.
Year's over. What are we happy for? What are we thankful for? What are we kind of looking forward to? So besides Acolyte and Skeleton Crew, what else are you looking forward to in 2024?
I'm just really hoping for a revamp of just, like, Marvel and DC, like, trying to figure out their shit, honestly, because I'm a huge comic book fan. And I've been a fan of a lot of things that Marvel has done, but I think like Marvel has been like off their game consistently, except for like Loki.
Okay. We still need to talk about it.
We need to talk about Loki because Loki was fantastic.
Loki was good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say fantastic.
Oh, it was good.
I'm season one.
Oh yeah, season one was better.
Season two is okay.
I
liked it.
Plus, Bond actually liked season two better.
I just think the way that I was describing. Both seasons, but season one is about character development, and season two is about plot development.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I didn't like about season two was that the whole angle of like Loki and Sylvie.
Yeah.
Completely dropped. Like Sylvie's just a supporting character.
A reaction too, because there was a lot of criticism about that. But Loki, Sylvie, that
was the whole relationship. That was the heart of the show,
and it was my favorite part of it as well. So I was sad that they kind of dropped that.
They kind of pulled a Rose Tico on that, where it's like, let's just put Rose.
We just kind of started to build this relationship, like, and then, let's just sink it right away.
Sink it, yeah. Which is sad, because I really like...
Yeah.
So whatever, but we'll talk about Loki season two.
But aside from that, and obviously, Loki had the build-up of how good season one was, so... It had that going for it already going in, and it was still good. I thought Loki was good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
But amongst all the stuff that Marvel did, and also Guardians. I love Guardians 3.
Guardians Volume 3.
Yeah.
Rock the boat.
Oh, yeah.
It was delicious.
Oh, yeah. And it made me cry like ugly tears, you know, like just like
Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, Rocket, man.
So good. So good.
But aside from that, there were so many bad things. And now we know that, what's his name?
Jonathan Mayers.
And now they have to break with the Kangverse that they were selling.
They don't have that.
Well, I know. You can totally recast.
It's one of those things that's just like so weird. Every time like I've been reading about that, it's like, why is this a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you set yourself up perfectly to solve this problem without having to worry about it.
True.
It's the multiverse.
You're right. Yeah.
Like, we had a season of Loki where one version of Loki was a crocodile.
I know.
Or an alligator. I don't know which one. Sorry. I don't want to
offend I don't know anybody. The difference, yeah.
Hey, I don't know the difference. Like, exactly. I don't want to offend anybody. So, one of the two.
Yeah.
A modern, I was going to say modern dragon. A modern dinosaur. Modern dinosaur that lives in the water. So if that can happen to Loki, why can't Kang just have, you know, a new actor?
Of course.
And we already saw in the Council of Kangs that there's like alien versions of Kang that look different. So it's just like,
but
just do it.
But there has to be like a reimagining or something, because
they need to retool it for sure.
Yeah. And the films just haven't, again, aside from Guardians 3, the films just haven't been living up. And then,
what movies did we get besides Guardians 3? We got Ant-Man, Quantumania.
Ant-Man was terrible.
We got Black Panther 2.
Which was okay.
It was good. It was just...
Black Panther 2 was the same thing as Black Panther 1. The ending sucks.
Yeah.
And so you have this whole great setup.
Great villain, then the ending just doesn't make any... like, whatever. We'll talk about it some other time.
Yeah.
Not this time.
Yeah.
We're going to end on a high, and like now we're going on a low.
I know. But then
we're like, we have to do it with like Michelle Obama. When they go low, we go high. We gotta do that.
So I am actually looking forward to the Penguin series with Colin Farrell. So, because I thought he was fantastic in the Batman.
Yeah. Ooh, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh yeah.
Very excited for, because one of my favorite movies growing up was the original Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, and that whole franchise like was a big deal for me growing up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say co-equal with Star Wars, but it was up there.
It was up there.
Like,
for my brother too.
Like,
he's a huge fan
of the original Planet of the Apes. I used to watch it with my grandparents. Like, every time I was on TV, I would watch that goddamn movie. So like when the Disney trilogy came out, Rise, Dawn, and War.
Which were great, by the way.
Delicious. I loved it. So I was very excited with this new trailer for Kingdom.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to see like how the story moves forward. Because I kind of want to, like, it's not that I don't want to see this trilogy, but I kind of want to see them get to the original Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I want to see like how that is remade or reimagined.
Right.
I don't want a remake. I want a reimagining of that. Because we technically, in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, it was a quick Easter egg. But in one of those blink and you'll miss it type of things.
Yeah, because they showed on the news that they're
You see the ship.
Yep.
That goes to the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler alert, sorry, like, spoilers for like a 50, 60 year old movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited for that. That's probably the one I'm most excited. The movie I'm most excited
so
for.
So far. I don't know. What other movies have been announced? I'm not sure.
There's a bunch of like A24 films, but I can't keep track of all that because it's so many. But there's every single A24 trailer that comes out, I'm like, yep, that's good. I'm gonna go see it. That studio doesn't miss every movie that they do. Excellent.
And I really want to watch The Boy and the Heron, which I haven't gotten.
I just saw it. I'm not an anime guy, as you know. But I went to see it because I was actually very excited. And forgive me, I saw the subbed version the dubbed version.
Oh, God.
Why? I saw the dub because the cast was too stacked. It's like so
it
many.
It doesn't matter. You have to watch Miyazaki in Japanese.
Saw dubbed because Mark Hamill was on it. I'm like,
I know, but no.
Robert Pattinson.
They announced the cast, and I was like, "That's awesome," but I don't care. Miyazaki, Japanese.
You can watch it sometimes.
And actually, I didn't. I don't think it was released here.
Yeah, it's on Fine Arts.
But in Japanese, in dubbed, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Because I remember the only Miyazaki film that, you know, I had already become a fan of Miyazaki and I would want to go see at the theaters was The Wind Rises, which was supposed to be his last one. And they were only showing it here in the dubbed version. And I remember when it first started, me and Hosvana looked at each other like, oh, it's dubbed. Why? And then that film, for some reason, just didn't feel as Miyazaki as I wanted it to.
Because you mean because of the dub?
not only the dubbed, which I think kind of ruins it a little bit, but that movie wasn't as kind of magical and fantastical as films usually are. So I remember being kind of disappointed that I was supposed to be his last one. And then when there were started to be rumors that The Boy with the Heron was going to be released, and you saw the trailer, and I was like, oh my God, this is Miyazaki. The one I remember, this is Howl's Moving Castle, Miyazaki, and Spirit Away, and all these awesome things.
I think you're going to like, I liked it, so. And I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I'm
not,
so I'm really excited about watching
it. It's not my jam, and I liked it, so I think, yeah. I think you're I'm not going to give a goose guarantee on it, but no, I like it.
So I'm definitely excited about watching that, even though it's something that was released this year, so.
You still have time to see it before next year.
True.
But if not, then yeah, it's a... First thing on the list.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, we could reminisce about 2023 forever.
Yep.
But we won't, because there's enough things to look forward to, and you know, we need to catch up. We haven't caught up. Like, I literally came in, said hi, set up,
let's record.
So now we need to stop talking to you guys. No disrespect, we love all you guys, but we need to catch up. So yeah, like it's been a great year. Like, I know it's been slow, difficult at times, but
we pulled through.
We pulled through,
and there were a lot stronger, of fantastic things that happened.
We got Mo back, to some capacity, which I think is a capacity that everyone's happy with.
Yeah,
because Mo's happy. Yeah, we're happy when he comes back. When they come back.
Yeah,
you know, like, so I think it's good. So
only good things for the triad and for everybody. I think 2024 is gonna be good. So.
Yes. So yeah, sign us up. Like, only you know how to do it. Every time I do it, I hate it, and I always forget things. So I'm glad.
We are Triad of the Force. This is our last episode of season 4, year 2023. I can't believe it's season 4. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about 2023, what you expect from 2024. And we all hope that you have the most fantastic holidays that anybody could have, that you have fun times with family or your found family or your friends, with everybody that you love. And until next year, we are Triad of the Force. May the Force be with you.